Hey guys, it's the Evan and Caitlin podcast, the show recommended by 3 out of 10 cats. And it's not that the other 7 didn't like it, they just couldn't be bothered to fill out the survey.
All right, guys, so in today's podcast, we are going to be covering working together. We get a lot of questions about it. It seems. I tried to look for them, but I couldn't find as many as I thought. But we're going to kind of be covering that. Then we're going to play a game called Defend Yourself, which is kind of hilarious because our main topic is working together and how we work together.
Then we're
going
to be arguing.
And then we're going to do Things of the Week again.
Let's get into it.
So this is our first Monday episode.
It is.
Yeah. It's not that big of a change to you guys, but it's kind of exciting that we're figuring out the podcast. It's becoming more and more of a known quantity, I guess.
Quantity?
Yeah, that's the thing that people say. Like, I sound smart.
Like the podcast is becoming more of a known quantity?
Right? Am I using that right?
I think of like the number of orders we get each week is becoming more of a known quantity. Like when the known thing is a number, can you use that? I think you did it wrong. Stop Googling. Don't defend yourself. Save that for later.
Her honesty is a known quantity. So it doesn't just have to be like I think it's a real phrase.
Quantity is like number of
a
things.
A person or known thing whose nature or value is well known. We try to hire people who are a known quantity in the field of blank.
Ooh. I feel lied to my entire life.
Your whole life is a lie.
Why is it not known quality?
You're going to have to take that up with like the English rule people because they are wacky.
They don't answer my emails.
They are wacky. They are all over the place. They're all making up rules. Like, just talk to the guy who named like or who figured out how to spell Colonel. Grognal.
Insert Jim Gaffigan joke here.
Yeah. Yeah. I know. I'm just so original. Every joke is recycled. Moving on. This is also, I think, the first week where we're going to be making 3 different pieces of content. We have the podcast coming out on Monday. We have our Tuesday coming out on Tuesday.
Our E&K Tuesday
coming out on Tuesday. And then our main Friday video. That's pretty decent.
It's a lot of content in 1 week.
It's a lot of content.
I guess it's a good week to talk about like how we don't kill each other.
Yeah.
Because we're doing a lot of work.
Well, but also, I have to say, I like that we are doing 3 different pieces of content instead of trying to do 2 main video contents per week. Because I think that would be more stressful, than doing 3 different things and doing Twitch sometimes. But it feels like the variety keeps things fresh and exciting.
Yeah. I would agree with that.
Yeah. All right. So moving over to the main content, working together. Some of the questions that we've gotten, I pulled a few specifically. How do we pull it off? What keeps you going without driving each other nuts? And do we have fights?
Yeah. So I guess the pull it off, that's kind of a little bit vaguer. Like, how do we pull off? I guess all of these things kind of like the same answers kind of answer all of these questions.
Yes, yeah, so I think we'll just talk about like how we work together and that'll answer all of those.
Yeah,
I think.
And whether or not we fight and how we tackle disagreements and
so
stuff.
So we actually started talking about this while we were on one of our walks, which is one of our strategies for keeping up good communication whenever we are like confused about something or stressed about something, we talk. And since Caitlin cannot stand still while talking,
I literally can't.
We have to go on walks. But we started talking about this on a walk and we're like, no, let's save it for a podcast episode because this is pretty interesting. So we haven't fully talked about it with each other.
Yeah, I don't remember what we talked about on that.
I totally forgot too, but I have some ideas in my head.
Okay.
I think one thing that really helps us stay away from fighting or anything is we have a shared vision for how to move forward, why we're doing this, why is it important to us, and all of that. And since we have that shared vision, we know we're on the same team. And anything that I'm upset about or you're upset about is a thing that we can work together through, as opposed to it being me versus you or vice versa.
Yeah, because usually if one of us is upset about something, like it's kind of like a side thing related to our main quest, and the main quest is the same
Feels like we're talking about video games.
Yes.
It's like we have the main quest and the side objectives and side quests.
Yeah, yeah. But like figuring out that challenge is like a side quest, and the main quest is still the main quest for both of us.
It's so true. Going into, do you guys have fights? I'm kind of doing things out of order, but I have a reason why I'm jumping ahead a little bit.
It's not really in order.
Yeah. We haven't ever really had a fight. We have been upset in the past. And then we work together to figure out why the other person's upset and how to avoid getting upset in the future. But I think relating to content creation, I think one of the most common moments when we get upset is at the very beginning of a video. That's honestly the hardest part of making YouTube videos is the very beginning.
The very beginning.
Because like, it's a lot of stress. That's when people decide whether to stay or to leave. And that's how you set the tone. It's the most important part of the entire video creation process. Is the beginning.
Well, I think one thing that used to get us a little bit is we would be like, we'd put a lot of pressure on ourselves to start filming. We'd be like, okay, we're going to start this project today. And then we'd try to start it and then realize, oh, we got to go get these materials. So let's go get that. And then we'd try to start and then be like, oh, we forgot to do research on that. Or, oh, we forgot to design that.
Yeah.
And then it would be, you know, 8 at night before we even got started, and we'd be so frustrated because our goal was to start the project.
It's like expectation versus reality hitting you in the face.
Exactly. And that would be really frustrating to both of us. And, you know, that just makes it easier to get frustrated at each other when, like, you're frustrated at the situation. But one thing we did to reframe that was like, okay, yeah, we want to get started on the project today. Realizing that we need materials, that's getting started on the project.
Yeah. Like, and starting the research or starting we call like the metadata, like doing the like if there's any outline, if there's any talking points we need to hit, if there's like, you know, all of the stuff that goes into the behind the scenes, that is starting the project too, because that's all time that's going to go into the project. So I think reframing some things really helped in that way.
Yeah. And I think also kind of tied to that is sometimes, you know, when we would start, we would have different ideas of like what the tone of the video was going to be, or what the intro style would be, or whatever. Like,
even if like the whole focus of the video, if I think it's about the build and Caitlin thinks it's about the story or something like that, that can be a mismatch too.
Yeah. So like, and we divide and conquer a little bit when it comes to videos. Like, I'm usually keeping track in my head of, okay, what shots do we have? What shots do we need to get next? Is this going to be montage? Is this going to be talking? Is this going to be time lapse? So I'm kind of editing the video in my head as we go.
Yeah, because you do the editing work in post. So one thing we found to really speed up editing in post is if you edit during the film, you decide what it's going to be, and that's important. But Caitlin's focused on that, and I'm thinking about, okay, so what is the best order of operations for cutting the wood to length and how to assemble it and the mechanical aspects and all of that. And like the project actually working, I feel that pressure because that's kind of my responsibility. So I am focused on one side of things and Caitlin's focused on the other side of things. And when we don't communicate those needs and something gets thrown off in some way, that's when we can like get upset and then we just go for a walk.
We just go for a walk and like talk about why we were each upset. But
the solution isn't going on a walk though. It's just good communication.
Yeah, just talking about it and like acknowledging that like, okay, I can recognize that we're not on the same page here.
Yeah.
To fix that, we need to get on the same page. And to get on the same page, we need to talk.
Yeah.
But I think like, you know, a lot of people, you know, not just people in relationships, but if you're working together in some capacity, usually there's some form of divide and conquer, you know, and like with us, you know, you having the like thinking about more the design and will it work, and me thinking about like, can we turn this into a video? Like a common example of what would happen is you might start making the thing and in your mind, you just need to get some preliminary things done to figure out if it's even going to work. And in my mind, I'm thinking, wait, why are you working on stuff? I need to film that. What if it's a mess up? And then that's funny. And like, it helps tell the story of why we did it a different way. You know, we've learned that like you communicate to me if it's like, okay, I need to work on this and it's not important for the story. And I'll communicate to you, hey, if you're going to do something important to the story and I'm not ready, let me know so I can film it. Things like that.
I think that that is an interesting example of a specific thing for us. But I think trying to broaden it out to a bigger idea or concept. What we have done is, as we have worked together and figured out the process of creating videos, we have run into scenarios where we might get upset. And when that happens, mm-hmm. we try to meet and figure out why we got upset and then prevent that for the future. And then we've noticed patterns in the moments when we get upset.
Yeah.
So oftentimes it's in the beginning of the project. So what we've started doing is trying to meet before the project, get on the same page and all of that. And then the points, like the sticking points that used to, the sticking points that used to get us or get us frustrated aren't happening as much because we've identified what those points are and mm-hmm. we try to prevent those from even happening. So instead of getting upset again and again and again and again, we, and knowing that that's a point we get upset at, we kind of cut, and I don't know the words I'm saying, but
we like prevent it before it happens.
We prevent it before it happens.
Yeah. You know, in any type of relationship, like people can have fights and people can be upset at each other. Mm-hmm. But I think like, because we have so many different levels of relationship going on, like we're married, we're also like co-owners of a company. We work together literally all day, every day, which is awesome, by the way.
Yeah.
Highly recommend. but like, there's no room to stay upset at each other, and there's no room to not fix things. And we were like that even before we started working together. Like if there was like a hint of one of us being upset about something, like we would talk about it before it became a big deal. And that's maybe not for everybody. Some people might think like, oh, why do you bring up every little thing? But for us, it was just, we're just over communicators. Mm-hmm. And that's how we both work. But I think especially like we're working together, we can't do what we do and like secretly be fuming because we're so mad at the other person, you know?
Well, but also the type of content we're trying to create, we're trying to inspire people to try new things. We're trying to show how creating stuff can be fun. And if we're upset,
it's not going to work. Yeah.
It's not going to work. One thing I thought of that's interesting that might be a topic we can kind of dive down into is, how do we decide the balance of our interests? Because we have shared interests, but we also have divergent interests. I like CNC and 3D printing a little bit more, and you aren't opposed to that. But I think that both of us have certain interests. Mm-hmm. And how do you...
I tend to like the things that are slightly artsier, like the resin mm-hmm. and like
acrylic. And I like those too.
Yeah, you like them too.
But is there anything like, that you like even more? I mean, I like the cosplay too. I like everything.
I think, I don't know, but I feel like
there are some projects that you lead the charge for
the
in
beard.
Terms of the beard. Okay, the beard was like almost all Caitlin. Caitlin really wanted that beard.
I did. Well, I really wanted to decorate your beard. You giving me a beard was that was your
bonus
idea.
Yeah,
yeah, which was brilliant. I think the things that I want to do more, I think, like, don't really work on our channel, so it's less of a thing. And we are, like, you know, we did do the silly beard video.
Yeah.
Some of our, like, ENK Tuesday videos have been kind of silly, and the one that's coming out tomorrow will be pretty silly. And that was something I really wanted to do. But I think that's why we probably run in more often to things where it's like, you're more excited about it than I am, rather than me being more excited about it than you are, because you're pretty excited about like all of the maker stuff.
Yeah, I'm excited about everything, but I also love the videos that you want to make too. So tomorrow's videos are mostly all about our cat, and it's awesome. I had a lot of fun making it.
It's possum, like P-A-W. That pun only works if it's written. Otherwise, it just sounds like I'm saying the like word possum.
But I think that one thing that helps with this is both of us realizing that we're each 100% necessary for what we're doing to work.
That's true. And I think I used to get a little bit more discouraged about it, going back to like CNC and 3D printing. That is not my strength. All the digital fabrication stuff, like I know a very small amount of 3D modeling.
But what's crazy is you know more than probably 90% of the population.
Maybe, but it doesn't feel that way.
Well, that's because I don't want to toot my own horn, but I know a lot about
a lot. But even within like the maker community, I feel like there's a lot of people that know a lot more than I do. And so, you know, sometimes with projects like that, I feel like I can contribute a lot less, or at least that's like how it would feel, because I don't know, step one, step two, step three, if we run into a problem, I might get lucky and guess how to fix it, but I don't really know how to fix it. So I used to feel like I wasn't adding anything by being part of the project, you know, and that was something I kind of struggled with. And I think I've gotten better at just being okay with the fact that like not every single project has to be 50-50 involvement from us. Like even with the shed, that was, you know, I helped with it, but I did mostly filming, you know, or I was a helping hand. And it's because, you know, we're dealing with really big, heavy boards, stuff that's high up that's hard for me to read. You know what I mean? Like logistically, there's a lot of things that just made more sense if you did it.
Yeah.
And like, I've gotten to a point now where it's like, it doesn't, you know, I used to just feel like we had to be 50-50, each of us on camera contributing to the project. And if I wasn't doing it, I wasn't pulling my weight, you know? But now I think I've gotten better at accepting that like all of the camera work and film work and editing, and even though a lot of that's behind the scenes and it's not what's seen by people, it is still obviously like a big part of what we do.
That's the whole part. that's the entire most important part. The video that comes out of what we do is the product, I think.
I agree. You know? It is the product, but you know, there'd be no video if there's no project.
Yeah.
You know.
But that I think that's like a good point. It's like without both of us being fully part of this, we'd have nothing.
Yeah, no, that's very true.
Yeah.
That's very true.
And I think just like knowing that you are both so important really helps. You know, I think that when we both have equal buy-in to what we're doing, you know, we're both fully on board with the same vision. Yeah. And we're both excited about where we're going.
Yeah. Well, and I think that's a big part of it too, is there's, you know, I mean, if you look at YouTube as a whole, there's a lot of couples and stuff like that that have channels, but at least in the maker community where like you're coming together and you're doing projects together, which is kind of a stereotypical point of contention between couples, is like working on house projects and stuff. Like there's not too many couples doing this, but I think like, or too many couples that are like business owners together.
I'm not sure how many, there are sometimes couples that are doing stuff together, but oftentimes it seems like there's like a lead person sometimes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But so like, I guess what I was getting at, and this is something you touched on before, is like, we have equal buy-in into everything.
It really is Evan and Caitlin. There is no like,
yeah.
There's no sidekick here. We're both the heroes.
It's not Evan, comma, and Caitlin. Or Caitlin, comma, and Evan.
And but, I can always defend myself because you chose Evan and Caitlin
the
name.
I did. But I guess like, you know, if one person was trying to run a maker YouTube channel by themselves and they were in the garage at all odd hours of the night, or like working all day, you know, all these things that we do, so we know what happens, and the other person wasn't part of that, then I think it's a lot easier to have misunderstandings and like hurt feelings, you know, like, because if one person is spending all their time on work and the other person doesn't get to see them, it's like, man, I want to see my significant other.
Yeah.
This sucks. But like, if we're working all the time, we're working all the time together and we know why we're working all the time, you know?
Yeah. So I'm not sure how to turn that into advice for other people. I think that we're in a very unique situation.
We are. Yeah, we are. I mean, I guess it doesn't necessarily have to, everyone's specific situation is different, so it doesn't have to be advice. I think the biggest advice is just communicating. And like, I mean, if you are in a situation where you're not doing it together, maybe try bringing in that other person in some way. You know, even if it's in a more of like behind the scenes way.
Yeah.
Even if it's just talking and brainstorming ideas and things like that.
I think one thing that also helps is, since we're both fully bought into this, the wins are so much bigger, sharing those wins. And hopefully there are a lot of wins, but also even when there is a failure, sharing that failure and understanding what went into it and being able to like comfort each other.
Yeah.
Through that, you know, it just makes everything, everything is more better.
But like, everything
the lows aren't as low and the highs are higher.
Yeah, yeah. No, that's super true, because it's like you have this other person that understands everything, like every aspect of everything that you're going through, whether it's like all the work that went into a win or why a low sucks so much.
Yeah, and I think it's a whole another topic we might get into later about how doing what we're doing is such a new and small thing that people do. Not too many people understand it.
Yeah.
And having someone who really understands it is really valuable. But I think that we could almost do a whole podcast.
Yeah. Yeah, it's an emotional roller coaster.
It's good stuff, but it's something that we should talk about in another podcast.
Yeah, I think so.
I think one last aspect that I think might be interesting to touch on is the difference between real life and YouTube. That could kind of be another whole topic. Actually, that could be a whole other podcast. But I think that I can touch on a few things that I think are interesting about comparing real life to YouTube life. When we're making videos, we film a lot and we cut all the highlights together. Just because a lot of times we are just sitting together companionably, just working on things. You know, companionable science. Companionable science. And I think that that's also a nice aspect of what we do, just being able to have chill time together. But that won't make interesting YouTube content.
Yeah, I mean, we've had some really, really nice chill time, just like hanging out together in the garage, like listening to a podcast.
Just painting and standing and whatever we're doing.
Yeah, doing stuff that like a lot of it doesn't make it to the video.
Yeah. And we do make each other laugh a lot and we have a lot of fun. And some of it is just so not weird. I don't want to like say we're so weird. It doesn't even make it to video. But, you know, there's a lot of stuff that wouldn't be funny because it's a lot of inside jokes and just like a lot of stuff that would take more time than would be funny to explain.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, so there's stuff that gets cut on the funny end.
So too. I still think it's a reflection of who we are and our life in some ways, but it's also, you know, it's like social media all over the place. It's the highlights strung together.
So I can see why like people are looking at that. It of course looks like we never have disagreements or anything because they're just seeing like the highlights of what we're doing. Is that what you were getting at? Like tying it back to?
No, I was actually kind of tying it to one thing I saw a lot when I was looking through the comments is about how we're always having so much fun together and we generally are, but I don't want people to think that we are just always laughing and always having fun.
We're always at like 100%.
Yeah. And it's like, we do love what we're doing, but it's also a lot of work. And that could be a whole nother topic.
Yeah, I think I'm itching to get into that, but yeah. I think we should save it for another one.
I think we should save that to another. So much. Yeah.
Yeah, so much. I think one last thing when it comes to like getting along, doing projects together. I do think one thing to keep in mind is like we are in a unique position, not only because we work together, but because like, well, I guess it's because we work together. Like the projects that we do, in some ways there's more pressure because it's our job now, you know, so like things have to be on time and things have to be good and all of that. But on the other hand, because it's our job and because we can do so many projects and we can do so many videos, if one doesn't turn out perfect for some reason, it's okay.
Yeah,
you know, it's like, oh, we tried making, you know, concrete and resin gems from a potato. It was really fun. It didn't like, it worked okay, but it wasn't like,
it wasn't a resounding success.
Yeah. But it's like, you know, when it just comes to doing projects, the video is our product, like you were saying earlier, not the project. So if the project itself doesn't turn out perfect, it's okay. You know? And I think sometimes, especially because a lot of people, when they're working on projects together, it's like something for their house. There's a lot more pressure for it to be perfect because you're spending a lot of money, you're spending a lot of your extra time outside of your normal job to make this thing happen. And so I feel like there is kind of more pressure on it in some ways.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Does that make sense?
Yeah. So I think keys to happiness, expectation versus reality.
Yes.
Communication.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
Problem solved.
Yeah.
All right. On to game time. We call the segment Defend Yourself. All right, so we have a hat here full of things that we've written down.
And these things are random stances, that some that we agree with, some that we disagree with. We each put in equal amounts, and I haven't seen Evan's, and he hasn't seen mine.
And when I open this statement right here, I need to defend it vigorously.
Whether it's my statement or his statement, whether he believes it or not. And we're just going to see how many of these we get through.
All right, let's start with... Mechanical pencils are superior to old school pencils. They are so much better. They have a consistent width. They are refillable infinitely. They last longer. They're just better in every single way.
You know, but the thing that you can't do with mechanical pencils is with a normal pencil, you can shape it to be what you want. If you're shading something, you can scribble on the side of the pencil, and then you have like a flat surface that you can shade with. You can't do that with a mechanical pencil.
Yeah, they have really thick lead mechanical pencils that are like really huge, like a quarter inch thick.
Yeah, but you can't get it at the correct angle. A normal pencil, if you go with like the point of the pencil, it's flat and parallel with the paper. With a mechanical pencil, it is a, if you can imagine my hands doing this motion right now, it's like a mountain with a straw coming out of the top.
What? That's what a mountain with like a straw?
It's like an upside down cone shape with like a tube coming out, and that's the lead. You can't like put that against paper and get it flat. You'd have to stick the lead out so far.
Yeah, you can get like eighth inch thick lead and you can do the exact
but
same
then
thing.
You have to have your 0.7 millimeter lead, your 0.5 millimeter lead, your 0.8 millimeter lead, and all the different pencils and all the different leads. That's so much to keep track of. I know for a fact that you would not keep track of that.
That's a good counterpoint, but the potential superiority of mechanical pencils is much greater.
There's potential than superiority, and then there's real life support superiority, which is real pencils. You don't run out of lead.
You run out of pencil.
You have to use grab a new pencil. you can do that thing where you break it in half and then you have two pencils on one pencil, which is really cool.
Okay, let's go ahead and call it here. The end of arguments. Who won?
I won.
Well, you won? I won.
Yeah, you won. Mechanical pencils are better.
Mechanical pencils.
Okay,
you
get one. Okay, my turn.
Okay.
I get to pick. Let me do it. So that was one that you had written. Let's see.
I had written that one.
Tiny sheds are the best sheds.
Big sheds are the best sheds. They're future proof. They'll last forever.
Big sheds, you got to get permits for that. You can't just do it on your own. You have to put so much more work into making it structurally sound.
Yeah, but in the future, if we had gone with a big shed, we could have put AC into it. We could have used it as a workshop. We could have done welding in there. We could have turned it into a welding space.
But what about this? What if in the future we wanted a pool in our yard and a big shed was taking up a bunch of space that could have been a pool? So maybe a tiny shed is more future-proof.
What we could have done is we could have built a moat around the shed and have an island shed. How epic would that have been, huh? So hey, epic. I can see it in your eyes. Your eyes are just glowing. You love that idea.
Hey, there's still time to turn our shed into an island shed, even though it's tiny. It just means less digging for the moat.
All right, call it.
Tiny shed.
Tiny shed. It's hard to defend the
thank
big
you,
shed.
Thank you. Okay, your turn. Wait, no, that stays on my side, so I know that I won.
Are we counting wins?
Yes.
Because like some opinions, there's just a right side to things. It's almost just like no, luck could, of the draw.
Could, no, but you could argue the other one.
So well.
So passionately, it's so well. And some there's not a right answer.
Oh, gosh, come on. Okay, tomatoes are the most supreme fruit. They are tasty. They are good on burgers, ketchup, salsa. Think about this. Salsa.
See, I already know you're lying because you don't like them on burgers.
Salsa, though. I mean, like, how could you not have tomatoes and
tomatoes
salsa?
Tomatoes are that food that you pick out of everything because they're just watery and mushy.
I'm going to try to soldier through this because I agree with you, but tomatoes are the best fruit. I mean, what other fruit
the
can compare? What? Like raspberries? Come on. You'd much rather have tomatoes. You know, on cheese, tomato cheese and that
just the thought
black
of tomato
sauce?
Being a fruit is gross to me.
I agree. You win this. I forfeit. That was a cheap shot.
Hey, I actually believe that tomatoes are the best fruit.
What? How?
Because they make salsa. Okay. I would much rather have salsa than any other fruit.
That's where I was going, but that's the only thing they got going for it. Salsa, and that's
it. You gave it to me, so I won anyway. Okay, my turn. This is my own because I recognize the drawing I did on it. Socks with sandals are the best form of footwear.
No, there are plenty much better forms of footwear. Just flip-flops. You don't need those sandals. And also, when you put socks and sandals together, it creates that wedgie that's way too big and it's just like, it's really uncomfortable. You get sweaty. Like, come on.
Yeah, but you know, once you get that sandals. Toe wedgie just right, it's like really nice. It feels great.
Just sandals or like better, so what's the ideal use case for like socks and sandals?
It's because my feet are cold, but I don't want to put on shoes that I can't just slip on and off easily.
So in cold weather is when you are saying that it's the best?
Or in hot weather, because sometimes my feet are also cold in hot weather, okay?
Okay, so when your feet are cold, that's basically it. Okay, why not just wear boots?
Boots aren't as freeing.
Fuzzy boots. I gotcha.
Okay.
I gotcha.
Okay, you win. Fuzzy boots are the best. Any time of year.
All right, my turn.
But I know you love socks and sandals. No, I do too.
Star Wars is better than Star Trek. It is far superior. Everyone knows more Star Wars references. Everyone knows what Star Wars is. Some people don't even know what Star Trek is. When people think they know what Star Trek is, they're really this thing about Star Wars.
You know, I know what Star Trek is, and it's the one with Beam Me Up, Scotty. And
which version of Star Trek is your favorite? Which captain is your favorite? It's so memorable, right?
William Shatner.
Okay, what other captains were there?
And
what
the new guy.
Well, okay, what's the Star Trek captain's name? Okay, now what's the bad guy in Star Wars? Do you know?
Oh, I don't know. It's all hard to remember.
You know I won this.
But you know, who's in Star Trek, they all wear color-coordinated outfits. And they look like they're having a sleepover pajama party.
Nice try. Moving on.
Okay.
They're having a sleeping party.
A sleeping party. Only give receipts if it is requested. It is a waste of paper to give me a receipt when I don't ask for a receipt.
But what if you need a receipt but you're just shy and then you just don't get a receipt? What if you need it for business purposes and you can't expense it?
Well, then you need to ask. That's on you. That's not on the person giving, like making the decision to give you the receipt.
Yeah, but you know what? If they stop making receipts, how are the paper companies going to make money anymore? You're ruining the economy.
You know, there's better things that paper can be used for than receipts. It can be used on sticky notes that are used for a defend yourself game. Yeah. And we can play so much more of this. Think of how many more sticky notes we would have if nobody had to make receipts.
What if when you take the order and you get the order number, what if like they say your number and you're supposed to remember it and you forget and you never get your food? Ever. This sits up there. Sadly waiting for you.
You know
what,
but the thing is, when you go up there, they don't even check your receipt number. You can just take anyone's cheeseburger.
All right. But come on, who's winning here?
You actually are like kind of having better arguments than me, even though I strongly believe that you shouldn't give people receipts unless they ask for it. I hate having receipts. I'm just going to throw it away immediately. And you wrote this.
I know.
But I feel very passionate about it.
You're just not defending it that well.
There's one really big... No, there's two big defenses.
Okay.
One, trees.
Trees.
Trees. You got to save the trees. Two, landfill. Most people, when they get a receipt, they're not at a location where there's recycling.
Okay, let me just
trash.
Join in because I hate receipts. I just don't want to deal with them. They just end up littering my pockets, my car. They wad up things in the washer. You know,
they do. I find them.
Sorry about that. But they're such a waste.
Well, I get rid of mine immediately because I don't want that. But then I feel super guilty because, you know, if you're just like at a fast food or a CVS or whatever, you're just going to throw it in the trash. And then it's like, there's no recycling option
there.
And
it's so much easier to default opt out as opposed to like...
As opposed to, like, because they already are printing it.
They're already printing it.
You can't fine, you know.
Yeah, okay. You win that just because I agree with you.
Okay, even though you argued it really well.
Thank you. All right, let's see what this one is. Phillips head is the worst and it should never exist. All Philips heads should be replaced with Star Drive, with Square Drive, with anything. Like, driver technology has advanced so far. Now, Mr. Philips, when he first invented the Philips head screwdriver, okay, that's great. It self-centers. That's great. You push it in and it's holding it centered. But you know what, Mr. Philips? Your invention has been obsoleted. It's no longer needed, and you should just concede defeat, even though you're already probably dead. And you should move on and make room for the better drive technologies. I rest my case.
You know, but there's so many Philips head out there. What's the most common? What's the iconic screw head design?
Star Drive.
No, it's a Philips. If you look up screwdriver icons or screw icons,
okay, so,
there's a Philips head
so
on there.
So you know what? That'd be like saying, you know, we should always just stick with VHS tapes. Because they're the most iconic way of recording video. And, you know, let's just stick with vinyl forever. Let's not go to this MP3 thing.
I'm not saying
you know,
the let's most not iconic way. Like... I'm saying think of the societal change that would have to happen in order to change. It'd be like going to metric for the U.S. Yeah, maybe it makes more sense. But think of everything that all the IKEA furniture. Oh, no, that y'all use is like Allen drives.
Yeah, Allen's better. I'll be fine with Allen taking Philip's place.
There's literally no way I can.
No way to defend this.
I agree with you so much.
It's just like they pop out,
they strip.
They're just the worst. They're the worst.
And it wouldn't cost anything more like to make other types of screw heads or screw designs. Like
no.
It's all going to cost the same.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's so much better.
Okay. This is our last one.
That topic right there is the single event that inspired this whole game. I just hate Philips.
I'm glad you got it.
I'm so glad I got it too.
Okay, last
Mr.
one.
Mr. Philips, come on. I think the inventor was actually named Mr. Philips.
Okay, the gaps in bathroom stalls is too large. He wrote is. The gaps in bathroom stalls are way too large. It's not... There's no privacy. There's no reason that they need to be that big. Over in the UK, they're not that big.
But like, so what if like you go to a stall and you wonder if someone's in there and you don't want to like peek underneath.
It's way less awkward to peek underneath than to like look through the crack and you make eye contact accidentally. That happens.
Okay, but like what if... man, I wrote a really hard one to defend.
Do you want to switch?
I'll switch. Okay.
Okay, you start.
Yeah. No. There's no way that they should be that big. What you're doing in there is private.
I'm trying to see if I actually do have an argument. I thought that I could. You know what? When it comes to like the design of the doors, it's a lot cheaper to manufacture this style of door where the door piece itself is separate. There's more wiggle room.
There's no space. It could have been easily designed so that there's a tiny gap.
There's less metal used, and so it's more cost efficient. That gap. If you think of all the gaps in the world.
It'd be millions of dollars.
Millions of dollars worth of steel doors.
You know what? All of the cost is in the labor, the assembling and all of that. Like the small increase in material is negligent when you think about it at that scale.
I don't think it's negligent when you think about all of the bathroom doors and all of the land.
It's all thin sheet metal.
It's not
or
that thin.
Like,
that's beefy.
No, it's all air in there. So it's super thin.
That's another thing. Airflow. It helps with airflow throughout the bathroom.
Sometimes you don't want that airflow.
Well, if you're the one making it bad, maybe you do want the airflow. And maybe you want the airflow and that will make everybody else leave so you have your privacy.
Okay. You know who. Like,
yeah,
like,
you win. Yeah. There's no way to defend that.
No
okay,
way to defend
how many
that.
Do you have?
Okay. I have one. Two, three, four, five.
I have three. You win.
Winner.
That was good.
Defending myself, champion.
That's right. Pretty fun.
All right. Let's move on to things of the week. My things of the week are something that we found when we were working with Alex Steele. This is something that he uses all of the time. It's the Manfrotto 244 variable friction magic arm with camera bracket and the Manfrotto super clamp with standard stud. Those combined.
Evan's reading the Amazon listing if you're wondering, like, how does he remember the numbers that it's the Manfrotto 244?
I was trying to be super smart here.
Super not.
Super not. What are you trying to say? I can defend myself. I'm the defend myself champion. But they're so versatile. They clamp to anything. And sometimes tripods just can't get to the places these can get, and they're so easily repositionable.
That's
how he got.
Or like you're in a small space, mm-hmm. you know, and you can't fit a tripod and walk around and work on your project.
Seeing Alex Steele use his was incredibly inspiring, how he repositioned to get all these very interesting camera angles. That's how he gets a lot of his shots with this magic arm. And we have ours now, and we were just using it the other day to capture a shot that would have been a pain otherwise, and it's great.
Yeah, we can put a link to it.
It's a really cool thing. Yeah, there'll be a link in the description on our YouTube channel. It'll be clickable. Depending on your podcast app, it may or may not be clickable, but it'll be there.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, that is a good one.
That's a good one.
So my pick of the week is Mythbusters Jr.
Oh, yeah. We started watching that the other day. It's so great.
It's so great. It's so wholesome.
It has the same feel. It has the same, like, pace. And there's nothing really lost from Mythbusters. Yeah. It still feels Mythbusters. And yet they're incorporating, like, new humor. I love that they let everyone have their own sense of humor and personality, and it felt very natural.
Yeah, like even from like episode one, where you think like, oh, everyone's just kind of getting used to being on camera
and being introduced is the hardest part.
Like you would think like, oh man, it's, you know, a lot of kids who've never been on TV before, like, you know. But everyone was like such a natural, and
a lot more natural
really
than
funny.
We were in our first YouTube video.
Yeah. Yeah. And it was really funny. Like we're only on the second episode, but the projects are awesome so far. So if you are a fan of the original Mythbusters, you will love it. I would highly recommend.
Highly recommend.
Yeah. Plus our friend Allie is in it.
Yeah. All right. Well, hey, I think that marks the end of the episode. Thank you so much for joining us again on this podcast. We'd really appreciate it. We've gotten our first reviews on iTunes.
Yes!
I don't know if I can respond to them, but it's really exciting.
It's super
seeing
exciting.
Them there.
Thank
it
you
makes
guys
us feel
so
legit.
Oh, we're also number 71, podcast number 71 in the hobby and games category.
I'm not sure if that's the best category to be in.
I don't know. It's really hard to like categorize yourself. We're like making stuff is kind of like a hobby, but it's kind of our work too. I don't know.
Yeah. And we play games.
And we play games.
So it's hobbies and games. It's perfect. Yeah. I wonder how high we can get in the rankings.
We should just pick like the easiest category to rank in and be like, guys,
we're
like
number three
in fishing. Yay! But seriously, it does mean a lot that you guys have left us reviews and that you've subscribed to the YouTube channel, which is youtube.com/Evan and Caitlin podcast. It's just been really great hearing everyone's feedback so far.
And we'll look forward to talking to you next time.
Talking to you
next time. Bye. All right, we are live. I mean, we're not live. We're not streaming. We're recording.
Good.
Whoopsie. Evan and Caitlin did an oopsie.
What would our oopsie be if we did an oopsie?
While we were live streaming, we thought that we turned off the camera.
And we farted.
I was thinking farting at first, but that wouldn't be really an oopsie. Did a fart.
Did a poopsie.
Evan and Caitlin did a poopsie.